Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, My offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of an hin for one lamb. In the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two tenth deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And in the beginnings of your months, ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot, and three-tenth deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, for one bullock and two-tenth deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil for one ram. And a several tenth deal of flour mingled with oil for a meat offering unto one lamb, for a burnt offering of a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And their drink offerings shall be half an hin of wine unto a bullock, and the third part of an hin unto a ram, and a fourth part of an hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. In the first day shall be an holy convocation. You shall do no manner of servile work therein. But you shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks and one ram and seven lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering, and their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3/10 deals shall ye offer for a bullock and 2/10 deals for a ram, and several tenth deal shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout the seven lambs, and one goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering. After this manner shall ye offer daily throughout the 7 days the meat of the sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. It shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And on the 7th day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. Also in the day of the first fruits, when ye bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out, ye shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. But ye shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, two young bullocks, one ram, seven lambs of the first year, and their meat offering of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals unto one bullock, 2/10 deals unto one ram, a several tenth deal unto one lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and one kid of the goats to make an atonement for you. You shall offer them beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering. they shall be unto you without blemish, and their drink offerings. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Do you hear the voice of Peter and James in Acts chapter 15 when we read through a passage such as this, when they speak about the heavy yoke of the Old Testament ceremony? Do you hear that? I do too. Our ceremonies in the days of the New Testament are much simpler and yet much more spiritual and profound. They are less tactile, less arduous as far as their various labors are concerned, and yet they are indeed more efficacious because of the greater effusion of the Spirit of God in the days of the New Testament. It's hard to get some folks to see that difference between the old and the new. In some cases, one error is on one side of the aisle where it's, okay, all ceremony is now thrown off such that there is no order of worship really in the Bible for the New Testament church. You can do whatever you want. That would be one side. And then on the other side, it's a maintenance of those same Old Testament rituals. They are brought in an illegitimate kind of way and are set in the church as things that are still to be kept, which is also not true. But the biblical stand, of course, is that there has been a change instituted by God Himself to His own worship in the New Testament, and that He does, throughout the New Testament, sprinkle, and especially in those administrative passages in 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, detail out what a worship service in some ways is supposed to look like. So we have this yoke. Now, why is this being repeated? It says, even in this chapter, as we were reading along, I hope you heard it, that this was given in Sinai. So why are we giving it again? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a valid question to ask. Well, where are we in the history of Israel? Remember the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those first five books of the Bible, when were they written? Well, they were all written during the time from when the children of Israel came out of Egypt until the death of Moses, somewhere in that 40-year period. And so we have that first generation. If you remember, we read about that first generation and the daughters of Zelophehad, and they came to Moses and they said, "Our father died in his own sin." In other words, he died because he was with the unbelievers at Kadesh Barnea that said, "No, we will not go into the land." Not like Korah and Dathan and Abiram. He didn't die that way. He simply died of old age in the wilderness because he didn't believe the Lord like Caleb and Joshua did. And so he was not allowed to go into the land of promise, but died on the journey. Like God said, most of that nation would. And so here we are then at the end of the wilderness wandering. And so to that second generation that has grown up in the wilderness, there are these commands given again, a second time, so that they might hear them personally from the mouth of Moses, from the mouth of God as Moses spoke and in an inspired fashion from God as a prophet. And so that's why we have a repetition here. Because the Bible, being the eminently practical book that it is, brings these commands up the second time to the second generation just before they are ready to enter into the land. Remember, we're entering the end of the book of Numbers here, and the end of the book of Numbers is the end of the wilderness wandering. So historically, that's why we see it again. Now, there are several things, while we would not receive for direct instruction, I mean, I don't see any lambs here today, right? We're not bringing them in. We know we're not supposed to do that. But while those things are not proper for us to do, there are some general, some moral principles that rise up from that we ought to glean from this passage. So notice, first of all, that there was a morning and an evening offering every day. No matter what the day, there was a morning and an evening offering. Brothers and sisters, then, you ought to recognize you should approach the Lord every day in the morning and in the evening. You should have some time of prayer, the reading of Scripture, every morning and every evening, privately at least, if not in your families as well. Now, family worship we can talk about another time. It's not particularly envisioned here. Family worship we ought to have at least once a day, if not twice a day, in the morning and the evening as well. You say, well, Pastor Riddell, you know, I'm going to be, that's private time in the Word, and then family time in the Word. I'm not going to have time for anything else. Well, I don't know that that's true. I think that's probably an exaggeration. And there are times where we can overcomplicate things and think that we need to spend 2 or 3 hours at a time in such things. Well, that's not what's being spoken of here. What we're after, however, is some kind of devotional exercise where we remind ourselves in the reading of Scripture whose people we are. Are we the people of God or are we not? If we are the people of God, then we will indeed read His Word, and we will pray, and we will pray not only at a set time in morning and evening, but certainly throughout the day when we're not tasked with other duties. If that means we need to rise a little bit earlier and sleep a little bit later, brothers and sisters, I will promise you from the Scriptures themselves that the benefits will outweigh any potential pitfalls. So that's the first thing. Every morning and every evening, there was an offering to be made unto the Lord. Now, did you notice that on the Sabbath day, those offerings were doubled? The Sabbath was a special day, and we believe that while there were Old Testament Sabbaths that were endemic only to the Old Testament, and we read about some of those here, those holy convocations where no servile work was done, that there was indeed a 7-day Sabbath that recurred every Sabbath day that is part of the moral and perpetual understanding of the Ten Commandments and belongs to every age of God's people. And so on the Sabbath day, those offerings were doubled. There was indeed a greater devotion that was owed unto the Lord on His holy day. And of course, the totality of the witness of the Sabbath day in the Scriptures from one end to the other speaks very, very clearly that God claims a propriety on that day. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. It's His. And so it's not ours to give away. Then third, the third moral thing that we notice is that on those other days of special times of worship, that those didn't cancel out the private times of worship. That's the third moral duty that we learn. That when there is a special day of worship, like in the days of the New Testament, every Sabbath day, there's a special day of worship, that special day of worship does not cancel out our private days, our private times on that day. So then notice that perpetual offering of the morning and the evening was always offered, even if there were other offerings to be offered, the Lord said what? In addition to the offering of every day. And so there are these moral underpinnings here that we see. We're not offering lambs today. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. No more offerings of that sense. We're not bringing, you know, cakes of flour, pancakes, fried cakes, baked cakes with oil and incense on them. We're not doing any of that anymore. That doesn't belong here. But the same moral qualities do belong. The sacrifice of every day, morning and evening, that is the devotion that we owe to God every day, morning and evening. And remember that these are, and this is the difficulty with worship today, is that we've forgotten what it's about, isn't it? Haven't we, Amy? We have forgotten that what worship is about is its service rendered unto God. Notice what they did. They came forth from their homes and they brought an offering unto the Lord. What do you think it is when we stand up and we sing? To whom are we singing? To the Lord. To whom do we pray? To the Lord. To whom do we lay down our ears? To the Lord. We come forth from our homes on the Lord's Day to meet in two services, to worship Him, to serve Him. Now, He is so gracious and magnanimous that in our coming forth to serve Him, we benefit. We benefit greatly. The Lord is so very kind to us, rather than simply receiving of our services through the mediation of Christ. What does He do? He blesses us in return. Well, that's grace beyond measure, isn't it? Okay, so In that second generation, then, they learned that they are to continue on with all of these things that God had commanded at Sinai, that just because their parents did not attain to the land of promise doesn't mean that the Lord's commands have fallen to the ground. They still continue forward. They are to continue with the daily offering. They are to continue with the Sabbath weekly offering. They are to continue with that new moon offering. In Numbers chapter 10, you remember, Moses was instructed to make two silver trumpets. And every new moon, at the beginning of every month, remember it was a lunar month, they were to blow those trumpets. And they were to offer those offerings. But we don't do that anymore. Those trumpets are gone. Those offerings are gone. That kind of offering is gone. But the Sabbath day remains, and all that we owe to the Lord remains. And so we come forth with our offerings of every day and of every Sabbath. All right, thus ends the reading of Numbers chapter 28. Let's stand and continue.